Our scripture for this morning is from the Old Testament, from the book of Numbers. We don't go to Numbers very often, but there we are. Numbers chapter 13, verses 26 through 33. And this reading is from the New Christian Standard Bible. The men went back to Moses, Aaron, and the entire Israelite community in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back a report for them and the whole community, and they showed them the fruit of the land. They reported to Moses, "We went into the land where you sent us. Indeed, it is flowing with milk and honey, and here is some of its fruit. However, the people living in the land are strong, and the cities are large and fortified. And we also saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites are living in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live by the sea and along the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people in the presence of Moses and said, "Let's go up now and take possession of the land, because we can certainly conquer it." But the men who had gone up with him responded, "We can't attack the people because they are stronger than we are." So they gave a negative report to the Israelites about the land they had scouted. "The land we passed through to explore is one that devours its inhabitants, and all the people we saw in it are men of great size. We even saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. To ourselves, we seemed like grasshoppers, and we must have seemed the same to them." And may we add our thanks to God for the blessing of the reading of the word and of our hearing of it. I need to remind you of something, and I say I need to remind you because what I'm speaking of is sort of my doing. And so I'll say it and I'll remind you. Remember this? We are in the midst of Christian home emphasis. And yes, I'm pretty much the one who has promoted this idea through my preaching for this past several Sundays. I spoke about the idea when we started out the month of May, first Sunday, May 2nd. And that Sunday just laid out the ideas with my sermon, "How Christian is Your Home?" And the next Sunday, Mother's Day, followed by the third Sunday, Graduate Sunday, honoring the graduates of our homes at varying graduating steps. elementary school to middle school, then middle school to high school, and we had our little Jessica Seavey with us, the newest making that step up, and hard to believe, a high schooler now. See, I have great memories of her and the other children we used to have when we had a children's time every Sunday morning, and now Memorial Day weekend, when we are treasuring the memories of people of our families who lost their lives in a time of war, those precious memories of our families, members of our Christian homes, who did not shrink back in fear, but stepped up to defend the freedoms that America stands for and offers to all. So that's why Memorial Sunday is an important part of our Christian homes emphasis. Members of our homes who gave their all so that we might remain free. And I hope that ties our scripture, the text that we just read, realistically in for memorial remembrance, Caleb. And in Numbers chapter 14, we learn it was Joshua also. Those two who did not back away from moving ahead to where God, through Moses, was leading them. The story of Moses sending the 12 spies into the promised land starts here at the beginning of Numbers 13. It's one of the most rousing and breathtaking incidents in all of the Bible. It was actually no simple thing. 12 men were sent out by Moses to look over this land, this promised land that God was taking them into, a land of almost limitless promise for their future. And they went to see and they went to explore it with their own eyes. And here they are, just returned with some of the overwhelming fruit of the land. It said they brought fruit of the land. But see, they were supposed to bring back some of what this promised land could give them for their future. And now people free from Egyptian slavery at last. And do you know, in verse 23, that's just a few verses before we started here, it tells how they cut one cluster of grapes. And it was such a huge single cluster, it took two men to carry it with a pole between them, and that one cluster of grapes slung over the pole. And as our text from Numbers 13, verse 27 says, these spies reported that was indeed a land flowing with milk and honey. And just look at these grapes. We just cut these off as one single cluster. But most of them said, the people there are too big for us. Giants. They called them the Nephilim. It's a Hebrew word for giant. And their cities were well fortified. They said, we can't go in there. And I say most of them because that was the report of 10 of the 12. And here they are, these two. Caleb quoted here, verse 30, and Joshua also chiming in, as we learn in Numbers chapter 14. And both of these men could be seen as similar to our heroic men and women of our Christian family homes, ready to go to war to give their people the freedom to be where God was taking them to be. And so this morning, I want to lead us through what the scene is today that we see in the church. And folks, we have to reflect and see if any of this is possibly a problem to which Boskydale Church needs to pay some attention. And I forgot to mention, so I want to stop right there for a moment and mention, next Sunday, June the 6th, is Children's Sunday. That's part of our Christian home emphasis. And then there's, in the middle of June, there is that day that all of you guys are just waiting for, and you can hardly wait. It's called Father's Day. But on Children's Sunday next week, we're going to have a very, very special program. It's called Baby Dedication. And we're going to be celebrating with three families the birth of children that are part of our family. So you want to be here for that. So let me get back to the report of these 12 spies. They were split there, 10 to 2. And you know, in some unfortunate way, this may be parallel of today's churches and today's church members in the Christian churches of America that God has called us to claim our land. Could the Christian churches of America say that on the average, only two out of about every 12 members are really the faithful? We're ready to go where God is leading us to go. That kind of Christian? Well, when the 10 gave their report, they created such confusion in the camp that it was with some difficulty that Caleb and Joshua were finally able to get the floor to present the minority report. And this is what we need to see. Their faith in the power of God and His ability to help people should inspire Christians everywhere to dedicate ourselves completely to the Lord and to trust Him for the results. So I see in this little short speech by Caleb, six powerful challenges in that very blunt report that Caleb gives here in Numbers 13. Look at verse 30 if you got your bulletin back turned there. Anyway, Caleb says, she says, hush now, everybody just listen up. He says, let's go up now and take possession of the land because we can certainly conquer it. That's pretty positive, isn't it? What I'm hearing him say was, let's go and do what God wants us to do. Let's take over this land that God has for us and live in it and love it because we can do it. We can conquer because the Lord is on our side. He said, let us go up now. Well, let us go up now. Actually, that's three of the six challenges right there. So let's take them one by one. And we're going to present these to every Christian church today in the land of the United States of America, where we claim in God we trust. Do we really? The first of the challenges is cooperation. He says, let us together. Let us, working together. The us is the key to success of any endeavor. The job is too great for just a few. So let us do it together. Teamwork. What I'm saying is, no one church can do this. It will take all Christian churches working together to claim our land for Jesus. But in addition, I'm also saying that we can't do our part without our whole team, every member of Bosquedale Baptist Church. You know, last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. So think back just a little bit on that. Cooperation, for instance, made Pentecost possible. Acts 2:1 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. What if that had been in our day, when all of them, there were 120 of them, and that's about the same number as our current membership. I don't know whether you knew that or not. Somewhere around a little more than 100, maybe 120. So would all of us have gathered here in our upper room in this church sanctuary? Or would our record be something like this? The meeting was called on the first day of the week, but so many things interfered that out of the company of 120, only 30 could be present. What if Pentecost had been this way? Peter and his wife had bought a cottage on Lake Galilee and were away from the hot city of Jerusalem over the weekend. Bartholomew had weekend house guests, and of course he could not come. Philip and his family had been up late the night before and they overslept. Again, Andrew had a business conference. He told someone it was about a new fishing boat. James had to stay home to cut the grass because it rained yesterday and he couldn't cut it then, so he had to do it now. The result of that, some of the members were there, but some were not cooperating, and thus no phenomenon of Pentecost. Cooperation. A second challenge Caleb presented was a challenge of activity. Activity. He said, go. See, cooperation gathers everyone together and then says, let us go. There is actions, or there are actions, somethings that are specific to be done. Well, you know, it was Sunday morning in the Doe household, you know. John Doe is his house. The parents, John and Jane, were not very stimulated by in the church and its programs, and but they wanted their 9-year-old son to have the advantage of the church's activities, you know, like they were when they were younger and active. The mother had dressed little Joe for Sunday school. On the way out, he paused in front of his dad as his dad sat in front of the TV in his sweats and his T-shirt, and coffee and a sweet roll beside him there. And he said, Dad, may I ask you a question? Sure, son, Dad replied. When am I going to get old enough not to have to go to church either? Well, the father hesitated for a moment. He woke up from his fog and he said, wait a minute or two, son, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with you. Without a doubt, that was the right answer, go. Or look into another home. The little girl with shining eyes and face all aglow said, Daddy, it's almost time for Sunday school. Let's go. Oh, no, not today, said Daddy. I've been working hard this week, and I'm exhausted. Got to have one day just to rest. So here's my plan for today, sweetie. I'm going over to the lake for a while, you know, where I go to relax. And if I'm lucky, the fish will be biting today. So you run along. Don't bother about me. I'll go with you to church another day when I'm not so worn out. Well, months and years roll by, and Daddy hears that plea no more. Let's go to Sunday school. Those childhood days are over, and Daddy is growing older, and life is halfway through, and he finally finds time to go to church. And what does his daughter, in a career now, say to him? She says, oh, not today, Pops. I stayed out kind of late last night, and I just have to get some sleep. Well, should parents insist that their children go to Sunday school? Yes. How does a parent answer Junior when he comes to breakfast Monday morning and he announces rebelliously, I'm not going to go to school today? Junior goes. What about when he comes in dirty and he says, but I don't want to take a bath? Junior takes a bath. Why then are some parents timid in the area of their children's spiritual growth and guidance? Should parents let their children wait and let them decide what church to go to when they're old enough and thus base their experience, their choices on inexperience? Well, you all didn't wait until your children were old enough to decide whether they wanted to go to public school or until they made up their own minds as to whether they wanted to be a clean and healthy person. So why should a parent say when Junior announces that he doesn't like Sunday school or church, just let that go? I say just be consistent. Junior, in our home, we all attend Sunday school and church, and that includes you. The firmness and example of parents in a home will furnish a bridge over which youthful rebellion may travel into rich and satisfying experiences of personal Christian living. For us parents in the church, for all of us, the part of Caleb's challenge is to follow his leading, to follow God, to go. Go on up. There's the third challenge, the challenge of advance. Up. Go on up. Well, I have to say, one of the greatest challenges that America has ever had is before us right now. And folks, it's not the challenge of the COVID problem. It actually, very truthfully, is winning America and the rest of the world for Christ. That's our greatest challenge. You see, the world is becoming more and more pagan each year. America's sliding away from God every year now, and you know you see it. The challenge to go up, our total commitment to service for Christ, is out there for us, and it's time for us to advance. The challenge of advance, to go on up. But you see, to go up means work. It means lots of it. And I believe that Christians are capable of it if and when we set our minds to it. Christian involvement in our local communities and in national affairs cannot be limited to once a week worship at the church and you're done until next week. Christian involvement and leadership moving up in all of our priorities, that's the challenge of advance. That's the challenge of advance that will push forward our one nation, our one nation under God, to become a reality. Well, look again at verse 30, and you see the next challenge of the six that I saw, the challenge of urgency. Let us go up now. Urgent. I just have to go back again to this, to our Memorial Day weekend. You know, long ago and many wars away, George Washington took the challenge of crossing the Potomac and doing it now, even though he and his men, our military of years ago, were willing to risk their lives going directly that night into a British garrison. 87 years ago, June the 6th, 1944, primarily American troops, but including soldiers of other nations, stormed the shores of Normandy under massive enemy fire. Many Allied soldiers, knowing they very well might not survive that historic D-Day, but the time was now. And many did not survive. But that was a turning point of World War II, and they had risen to the challenge of urgency, of now is the time. For not just a few, but the whole army of Christians, when the urgency of our passion for Christ and his cause is sufficient to produce the now, the daily practice of he that loses his life for my sake shall find it, Matthew 10:39, then Christianity will overcome the world. And we're almost there. This is challenge five, the challenge of conquest. Let's go up now and conquest, possess the land. I'm pretty sure you share this feeling with me. Isn't it wonderful to accomplish something, to actually get it done? You know, most church members who find fault and they're unhappy and that's their sort of church experience actually have themselves to blame. They make excuses when they ought to have been making good. Not making excuses, making good. Find some Christian good to do. Get it done. It's easy to quit. And truly, it is often difficult to keep on going when the going is tough. But that is what makes a real Christian man or woman. Joshua and Caleb said, "Let us go up now and possess the land." And my dear friends, my beloved, this is my message to every member, active now or not, of Boscadel Baptist Church. And further still, to every professing Christian of our great In God We Trust country of the United States of America. Let's all enter into a real spirit of full conquest for God. Let us resolve that with his help, we're going to do our share in reaching all people. Let us not be making excuses when we ought to be making good. And finally, challenge number 6, the challenge of ability. We're able. Caleb finished his challenge with, "We are able. We can certainly conquer." He didn't say it right then, but he and Joshua said it later. We are able because God is on our side. And the other 10 spies said, "They're too big. They're too strong for us. We can't do it." Well, what do you say? What do you say? Can we do it? Well, the experiences of Joshua and Caleb and the subsequent results of entering the promised land with God's help and God's guidance, they did take it. And that should inspire all of us to trust the Lord to do what he promises he will do. You see, victory is ours. And all the people said with genuine hope, you have to say it because Milton's not here. All the people said, amen.